Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I have to give you a fair warning. There is a good likelihood that I will replay that Brent Winters interview, the last half of that interview, again. And that's only because the message and the information in that interview is that profound. As we really, as I started talking with a lot of different organizations, it is irrefutable. If we want to get and obtain full compliance, and we want to restore our liberty, and we want to be in a position where we can pass down a nation of individual liberty and individual sovereignty to our children and their children. And I am telling you, if we go down, and I'm going to get into those opposers, those pseudo-conservatives, and those who just follow the thought control, where organizations, if you want to call them autocratic organizations, that dictate how you will think. We'll get into that because we're going to go into the elephant in the room. This is a presentation I gave, and I did not have the chance to really get into the details. So this show is going to be equally historic as that Brent Winter show, because we're not going to pull our punches. And the nice thing about this radio program that I have, I don't have to pull my punches. As a matter of fact, you've heard me, you know, take stabs at conservative organizations like the John Birch Society. There's a lot of, I don't want to marginalize the good people that are in the John Birch Society. So we'll get into those details when we get there. I don't want to jump ahead and go down this rat hole, because that's just going to take time away and force me to take a longer amount of time, or how many episodes will it take to get through this content? Because this is really important, and this kind of builds off of republicanism and everything we've kind of talked about, because I want to put this right now into your lap. I want you to start chewing on this, because we are now in the throes of an election. We are now in the throes where we, the people, have the opportunity to prove to the party that they don't control it. Now, my voice is very small. That's why I keep on begging and pleading that you talk to your conservative friends, your like-minded friends, and get them to start listening. If they listen, and if they have an argument, if they have a disagreement, by all means, have them give me a call. I will actually set up an interview where they can actually, I mean, remember, I have my three C's, right? Confidentiality, civility, and what was the other one? You want to be concise. So I don't let grandstanding. I don't let people be mean or what have you. But if you've got a good articulated argument, then let's go. Let's go at it. That's what adults do. That's how we solve problems, because I may not see everything. And I'm the first person to admit, as a matter of fact, I'm humbled all the time in why, you know, I've had this opportunity to have, if you want to call this vision, or be able to see and analyze and take a perspective unlike everybody else. I don't know why. I'm not sure why I was the one that recognized the auditing process, the constitutional process called Republic Review, and how that's exactly what Jefferson and Madison is. As we unpeel this, there is no doubt in my mind, if Jefferson and Madison came back today and they looked at what was going on and we put Republic Review in front of them, they would go, absolutely, that's exactly what you need to do. There's no doubt in my mind. I can tell you, I have that level of conviction and that level of understanding that there's no doubt in my mind. If we're going to preserve what we were given by the divine hand of providence in giving the insights to those great men who were receptive to those insights, in creating this Constitution that we have today, and I even include the 14th Amendment, and I know that flies in the face of a lot of conservatives, and that's okay. I'm not here to insult anybody, but I will challenge your paradigm. And if you don't agree with me, you know, by all means, let's go. Let's talk. But I would beg you to pray and ponder and read the source documents before you really want to go, before you really want to take that path of standing up and arguing for something that you will regret. I'll get into that as well. Hopefully we'll get into it this episode so we'll remember, because I'm not getting younger to remember all these things I have to get into. So anyway, I also want you to know that the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show that has a creaky chair. That's what you hear, the creak, creak. Anyway, because it's one of those small wooden, and I love the chair. It's an old, very old wooden kind of tilty back, you know. It's not a high back, but it's got a armrest and all that. And I love the chair. It rolls around great. It's really built well. It's just old, so it creaks a little bit. Anyway, this is the only show that provides you with the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions that I will stay here and tell somebody can refute what we are doing. You know, I constantly get people with this dumbfounded look on their faces, even those who think they really know the Constitution. I've reached out to, I forget her name, she goes by Hoodla Publius or whatever, and people, there's a lot of people that throw her emails out. I haven't reached out to Anna von Reitz, but I should, and I don't know, I think I might have her contact information, but I disagree with them. I completely disagree with their tactics, their approach, and their stance. Maybe they've read the ratification debates, but I'm betting they haven't. Or maybe they haven't read it in recently or in the context of the Constitution being a compact. Maybe they just fail to recognize that the Constitution is just a compact and the states are the primary shareholders of this institution or this compact that they've created. Anyway, if you want to be a part of the problem, you're more than welcome to stay in that position. But if you really want to change, and if you want to see change, you have to become a part of the solution. There's different ways to become a part of the solution, but I'm here to tell you that helping the message get out, getting more people involved, and getting with me. I mean, I'm really an approachable person. As a matter of fact, as I talk to different people, anybody that reaches out to me, I will engage them and we will take the time to have the conversation and we start moving forward. This is not rocket science. This does not take months and months and months and months for somebody to get it. Unless, I mean, you know, there are people that are, I guess, mentally challenged, but I don't think anybody, there's nobody listening to this radio program that's mentally challenged. There's no reason why you can't get this either on your own or with a few conversations with me. It's really not that hard. And once you get it, the real question is, why is it you're not doing things that are similar to me? Talking to other people and getting other people engaged and involved. This has to, in the similitude of the communist letter that Billy Graham uses on challenging people's commitment to God and how committed the communists are. If you're not committed to saving our Constitution Republic, then you're a part of the problem. And I'm sorry, I'm not pulling my punch. If you're not committed to getting out, getting involved, telling people they need to listen to this. And as a matter of fact, you know, I don't do lots of posts on the Mobius Strip Press page on Facebook. But when I do write an article and I have it finally done and published, and they're not perfect, I don't care about perfection. And I don't believe, I don't want to say that the good Lord doesn't care about perfection. I don't mean to get into the, you know, the biblical sense, but, you know, it was obvious that when he saw, he looked at Job as a perfect man. Here was a person. How was he perfect, though? Was he perfect physically, perfect in every aspect? Or was he just the perfect specimen that had such faith and such conviction in his spiritual relationship with his Lord that there was nothing that Satan could do and there was nothing that could happen to him that would shake him? Maybe that's how he was perfect. He wasn't Christ, we know that. And it doesn't mean that he wasn't without sin, but the Bible does refer to Job as perfect. And I'm glad that the Lord doesn't see me as perfect. And I know that he doesn't require perfection. That's why we have Christ, right? Anyway, I am humbled all the time why I have this opportunity and why these windows were open. And the real answer to why they were opened is really easy, because I asked. And you can ask too. There's no reason why you can't have that same conviction. And so with that, I'm sorry, we are now at a hard break. So when we come back, we're going to try to fly through a bunch of stuff so we can get into talking about the elephant in the room, because that's the intent of today's show and the forthcoming shows, however long it takes to get through it. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so some of the things I kind of have been errant and not good. I've been a bad boy and not doing this very often. But I do want to remind you, we are coming up on Constitution Day. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. We have to make the Constitution, we have to center the Constitution in our lives equal to, because if our liberty is equally as important as our salvation, because if you understand, without liberty, we will not be able, because during Christ's time, the Christians were being persecuted. I mean, if they found out you were a Christian, they'd kill you. And in communism, that's exactly what they've done. I do not believe that the Lord wants us to live in under a communist rule, under that type of autocratic type of society or those types of draconian measures. So we need to equally focus the Constitution with our spiritual and scriptural salvation focus as well. If you're a person that prays on a daily basis, you need to start including the Constitution in your life on a daily basis, because we are at the precipice of losing our liberty, and liberty, our current liberty, is protected by the Constitution. Anyway, so I want to thank you for listening, and I want to get you to start getting involved. I know there's a few things I need to talk about, and so some of those things I want to talk about is the riot control system. So probably after this little focused thought of these next shows or two, let's talk about riot control systems and one's right to protest our government and how we can protest constitutionally. Do you really have a constitutional right to go out in the middle of the street with signs and shut down traffic, or get on the sidewalks and shut down people from being able to traverse those sidewalks? Can you deny the constitutional liberties that are guaranteed by the Constitution of other people so that you can protest? I want you to think about that, because too many people think that they have a constitutional right to protest. And that has been the big deception that the progressives have been very good at, you know, probably ramming down our throats and so forth. One of the things I haven't done yet is I still have not done the remonstrance of Elijah Cummings. That's still in my, you know, I haven't, it's just not that important. This is an election year, and Elijah Cummings getting the facts straight on how this man started and how he ended up is really important, because we don't want the progressives to maintain the narrative of the progressive movement and how he was the, you know, a champion for liberty. He was, but he didn't die a champion for liberty. And that's so sad. It is just so sad to see people that struggled, that were a part of the struggle, and they started obtaining their goals. Then what do they do? Oh shoot, we've lost, you know, we've lost our, you know, our fight, our relevance. We now have liberty. Now what? That is the reality of organizations. If your goal is very specific, what do you do when you obtain your goal? Then your organization is dead? Yeah. Unless you actually, you know, are willing to let go of that organization and move to something else or be something different. You know, but just live. People could have lived and enjoyed liberty and started working together instead of allowing divisiveness to actually come back in the front door. Anyway, I also haven't said this in a while, but I think it's very important that we need to keep our eyes on the NFL and how quietly they are suppressing their involvement in social justice. In essence, the NFL and these elite sport organizations are supporting the migration of the greatest republic in the world that has been the bastion of liberty into a nation of communism. They are a very dangerous organization because they use their billion-dollar industry to help support the narrative of social justice. Go look at the basic definition of social justice. It is the exercising of a person in wanting to promote, and actually the exercising of communism. Anyway, the NBA social justice needs to be called out as well. They're supporting communism and slavery. And it is pathetic to see how sports, supposedly all of these men in these sports leagues have gone through college and have got an education. And it is so pathetic to see how they've been brainwashed and indoctrinated to thinking the path that they're on in supporting communism and slavery is a good thing. Have they forgotten over 150 years ago what the heck was going on in this country? Why is there no outrage by you, the fans, if you are a fan, regarding the NBA stars and the NFL stars and everybody else that is standing up for social justice? There needs to be a day of reckoning. They need to be held accountable. And that's, I would just say that. So anyway, we need to end the charade about what's going on with, you know, the election, our party, Republicans, and so forth. And we need to talk about who really controls the party. One of the guys I want to have on this show, and I've talked to him a few times, and he's just always so busy, and he's hard to kind of box into a good conversation for a interview. But I would like to get Alan Levy on here so that we can talk about how, you know, what he is doing, just what he is doing in getting the Florida GOP back into the framework of being controlled by the people and out of the grasp of the establishment. And here's the interesting thing. His family was integral in creating and embedding the establishment into the GOP because his family was associated with the Bushes. Interesting, huh? Well, anyway, let me get through the academic argument regarding Republic Review, just because that's how I want to start this off. And that's basically Republic Review in a nutshell. I want to challenge any and all who disagree. If anybody says something behind our back, then they're chickens, they're cowards, and they really don't have a good argument. I have asked, and I have put it out there, and I have asked other people to start saying to, you know, if a John Birch or if anybody, whatever organization they're from, comes out and says something bad about Republic Review, oh, that's a portal to a Article 5 convention. Okay, man up. Where is the support for your argument? It's time to actually get into the ring and let's see. Let us see if they actually have the evidence of support. And what they'll do is they'll point to my old books. And, you know, in my old books, it wasn't really well defined. These things were just coming to me just in the same concept, in the same concept as Madison walking into the Virginia or the, yeah, it's actually into the Virginia State House in dealing with Randolph and others. When he put together the Virginia plan to save the country, he had this plan. And his plan was far worse than my vision of Republic Review. I actually stand behind my books, and my books are still relevant, even though the process of Republic Review has been refined. It is still basically the same thing. The states must assert their rights. The only thing I will just say at this point and moving forward, just need to keep this in mind. At the point in time in 2012 when I wrote that first book and in 2013 when I wrote my second book, I didn't understand the hypersensitivity between the convention of state folks and the anti-conventionites. I call them conventionites. The conventionites and the anti-conventionites. There you go. And so I didn't understand this war and this division between them, but I knew that both sides had good people in them. Good, hardcore, loving the Constitution patriots. And so when I see one of the sides pointed to them as the enemy, I'm going, hold on here. We share too much common ground. And in all honesty, Republic Review is the middle ground for both. It's not the path for a convention. It is not the path. And we will get into that as we move down the road as we go through the process. But just go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and right there on the front page, just scroll down and look for the red text. Read the red text, and that will refute anybody saying, well, hey, that's a path to the convention. You know that, right? Well, then you say, all you got to do is say this. Then you've not read the process, have you? Well, what do you mean? it's a path to a convention. That's what we're told. I mean, that's, yeah, I've read this. And you go, man, you need to read it again, because actually J.R. Mobley's put it in red so it jumps out and bites you on the nose. And that way they can actually shut up, read, and then say, oh, because actually I've had that interaction. This goes back to 2017, 2018, when I was dealing with a regional director of the John Birch Society. Oh, it's a path. And then I put it in there and I go, okay, show me. And then he says, oh, well, this and this. And then I said, what about this? Oh, I didn't read that. And then he goes away. He doesn't even respond anymore. I've yet to have a conversation with him since then. Anyway, we're at a hard break. So when we come back, we're going to actually move forward with this Republic Review in a nutshell and talk about the elephant in the room. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay. So, as we were just talking about, I'd be happy to take on any challenger and listen to their points. But if they're not talking about the process and they're trying to talk about what they couldn't understand in my difficult-to-understand book for them. You know, I remember Douglas V. Gibbs came up to me and said, you know, this is a very hard book to read. The way you wrote this, it's just not simple to read. Your use of words, your vernacular, and your sentence structure and so forth is very complex. And I said, well, I mean, that's interesting, but have you read the Bible? And he goes, yeah, absolutely. Front to cover a few times. And I go, well, I know that's really difficult to read. And you can read that, but you can't read my book? Anyway, I mean, what else do you say? Okay, so you want me to dumb down the book? I could have used more simpler words, but that would have made the book was already four. That book is four books in one. And oh, by the way, I'm not peddling the book. You don't ever hear me talk about, you go, come buy our books, or we'll sign your books, and we'll do these things. It's not about that. I stand behind what I say, and I stand behind what I write. And so other than, you know, some of the lack of sensitivity, some of the things that I was completely unaware of, then I've made some corrections to help kind of provide the clarity necessary for these self-ordained, if you want to call them the gods or the self-ordained controllers of thought, of, you know, what words we can use and so forth, because that's about where we're at. There are people, that's about where we are as a society, where we're at. I'm sorry. As a society, when somebody uses a word and then somebody flips into a convulsion and starts like, you know, like they're having an epileptic seizure, just flopping and flailing on the ground. Oh, you use the word convention. Are you serious? I mean, have you not read what Thomas Jefferson wrote about? Anyway, we cannot allow political correctness and word control and thought control to permeate. We need to start uniting. We need to start uniting on the fundamental principles and put aside our differences, period. Anyway, as I say, I challenge anybody who disagrees with me, whether they're the 10th Amendment Center, whether they are, you know, these academic scholars like Gutzman and Woods, or whether they're the John Birch Society, I don't care. Mark Levin, I don't care. If they disagree with me, then let's talk. But if they don't talk to me and they just make assertions behind our back, then, you know, I'll just use the old taunting that we used to use in the schoolyards. Are they chicken or what? Come on, if you can really shoot this down, shoot it down to my face. If you're adult enough to actually have that type of conversation. But I believe, and I clearly believe this, that when you don't have, and you know you cannot support your argument, then you don't bring it to the person that's going to defend it. Because you'll look stupid. And as a matter of fact, we have video footage and video coverage of people looking stupid in my last presentation, this very presentation we're talking about today, or the content of what we're talking about today, because it's about the elephant in the room. It's really not about Republic Review per se. It's a part of, but it's not about. And anyway, so in a nutshell, Republic Review is holding people accountable, holding the government accountable. And the only way we're going to be able to move forward is we have to take the party back as a part of this. And there's a way of doing this. As the grand jury starts holding politicians accountable, we need to also hold the party accountable. Because what is the party that is supposed to be supporting liberty? Is it the Constitution Party? Well, if you understand the origins, and I've talked about this before, the Libertarian Party in 1971 broke away from the Republican Party. So they're an offshoot of the Republican Party. And it's because they felt they wanted to be more divisive than actually get involved in changing the direction of the Republican Party. Okay, so 1971, the Libertarian Party was born, and they have yet to have a relevant play in the play of politics. That's because the Republicans have monopolized it unfairly. No, it's because they decided to leave and become divisive instead of getting involved and making the necessary changes. So in 1991, the Constitution Party broke away. A lot of real good constitutionalists left the Republican Party so the Republican Party would fail. And how well did that work out for them? Not very well. So my point is, why is it that we have this divisiveness of breaking these parties into different parties and factions? Factions, everybody I talk to regarding the parties and all of this, they all agree that factions are the problem. Even in the Republican Party, it has a multitude of factions. Are you a Republican woman? You know, the Women's Republican Party or the Women's Republican Organization of Orange County or whatever? Are you a young Republican? Are you a black Republican? Are you some demographic Republican? Are you a Lincoln Log Cabin Republican? You are nothing but a faction and a divisive tool within the party. And the agenda you're bringing forward has nothing to do with individual liberty and individual sovereignty. It has everything to do with an agenda. And that is a part of the problem. But as we move forward, again, I'm putting it out there. Anybody that wants to challenge me on these in these concepts and this paradigm, they're more than welcome. 425-270-5416. Dial that number, 425-270-5416. I want to talk to you. We'll have a good, honest debate. If it takes 2 weeks to go through this debate, I'd be willing to do it. Now, I may not put it on the air here, but I will put it online so people can hear it for themselves. Because, I mean, if going 2 weeks, it's hard to keep people's attention for that long nowadays. I mean, getting to watch a video over 10 minutes is like, you know, it's a miracle. Anyway, nullification or republic review. There's too many, I don't know of a good word to call them, so I'll just say there's too many champions for nullification. Anybody that's championed for nullification is the same as trying to put a soldier into battle with a cap gun that doesn't shoot bullets. It's just a cap gun. It'll scare people and make people think that, wow, this guy's going to hurt you. The fact is, you have to use the tools necessary to actually get the work done. And nullification does not get the work done. It does not take the powers that are being unconstitutionally exercised by the government away from them. You have to arrest the evil or it will continue to persist. Yeah, we've got groups that are, you know, actually challenging the marijuana laws because the federal government doesn't have the ability to do that. But what about all the other drug laws? Now, every state should have their own destiny determined. And if they want to have these, because every state has all these laws in addition to the federal government. The federal government does not have they should not be spending a dime on fighting drugs. Unless the states say, on a national security level, we do not want drugs coming into our border. Okay. Then the states can actually pay for that. Because it could be a national security. It is the responsibility of the federal government to control what is being brought into this nation. They have the control over the imports and exports from this nation and into this nation. It's clear in the Constitution. They have that authority. Okay, well, let's have them do that. But they can't dictate that this drug is good and this drug is bad. That you can't use this kind of medical treatment, you can only use this kind of medical treatment, or the fact that you have to stay home for COVID-19. They do not have that constitutional power. So nullification is only a passive way where you just basically say, we're going to thumb our nose at the federal government, but we're not going to fix the problem. So the problem will continue to persist. You cannot allow it to go unchecked. You must get involved and you must actually arrest that evil. Anyway, there are organizations that are champions for the Constitution. And the question is, why are they not joining the fight for the Republic with Republic Review? Eagles Forum. Why are they not champions for Republic Review? They're fighting the Convention of States and they're not using Republic Review as the alternative. The alternative that they are offering is not an alternative. It is the status quo. And it's the same thing with the John Birch Society. Status quo, we're going to get this done because we're going to educate everybody. Now, come on. That's about as disingenuous as your origins, because in the 50s, they said that they were going to stop and they were going to educate and they were going to stop the growth of communism in America. Well, we're almost at the end of the migration or the transition into communism. They deserve an F for what they supposedly were going to do. Anyway, organizations that claim to be champions but fight Republic Review are simply an oxymoron organization. It's that simple. And with that, When we come back, we are going to get more into this. So we got these two breaks and we will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so what poses the greatest threat to our republic, our republican form of government? I want you to think about that. What threat, or what poses the greatest threat to our republican form of government, our constitutional, hybrid constitution republic? And I want you to think about that. Now, as we think about that, let me kind of paint the picture of what our general government is and what it's doing. It's got state welfare. It's got corporate welfare. It's got education. It has FBI. It has the EPA. It has the BLM or the DOI and energy, immigration, healthcare, housing and urban development, FBI. It's sanctioned abortion, homosexual marriage, geoengineering. It does refugee settlements. It is taking control of transportation. It has everything under the sun, and it keeps going on. And one of the things that they're trying to do is they're also trying to actually start taking away our direct liberties. They have been stepping on our religious expression, our religious freedom. They have been stepping on our rights to bear arms and the militia. They have unconstitutionally removed the militia from our form of government without even amending the Constitution. Now, I have a graphic for this presentation of information. And it is that big, huge monster with all these arms. And I don't know who did this. I just found it on the internet. And it's kind of an interesting, you know, Leviathan with all these arms that are just coming at us and beating us down. Because that's what a tyrannical government does. But I want to be very clear. Have you come up with what threat poses the greatest danger to our republic? Have you come up with the answer to that? It's really simple. Non-compliance to our Constitution, because every single one of these entities that I just mentioned, the EPA and so forth, they are outside the Constitution. In other words, if the federal government was complying with the Constitution, they wouldn't be doing and exercising those powers. Does that make sense? So as one considers the magnitude of unconstitutional government, consider the costs of running these bureaucracies of enforcement. If you understand the paradigm, the framers did not want the federal government to enforce anything. And now we have these unconstitutional bureaucracies that enforce all of their unconstitutional laws. We don't have a standing army. We have a plethora of standing armies forcing us to do all sorts of things that are unconstitutional. I also want you to consider the loss of liberty that we've been experiencing. And it's not just this COVID-19, it's been other things as well, our religious expressions, as we've already talked about. Or the fact that they allow insurrections and riots to occur to take away our rights and liberties of commerce and being able to traverse our cities because there's a riot going on, or what they call a protest. Remember, talking about your liberties is, or actually, not talking, taking your liberties. As I just said this before, when we talked about the property that that essay Madison wrote about property, when taking your liberties away and you not being able to do anything, it is tantamount to stealing your most precious property. That could be your children. That could be yourself. If you understand what is so precious to you when you no longer have the ability to do anything and everything, America, you're stewing right now because of COVID-19. Well, how's that working out for you? They have taken your liberty. Do not tell me they have not stolen your property. They have stolen your ability to obtain wealth. They've stolen your ability to capitalize on your ideas, to be able to promote your ideas and get out and manufacture and sell and innovate on them. You have been molested. They're not just taking your liberties, they have molested your life. So, as you understand, when I put it into context, I want you to put it into this very specific context. When they take your liberties, they are taking your property. Now, let's talk about Republic Review and the Convention of States. You know, we hear that old Pink Floyd song, "We don't need no education. We don't need no stinking amendments. We need enforcement." The big difference between a convention of states is a convention actually wants to make changes to something that doesn't need to be changed. And I'm not here to try to change anything. What I'm here to do is get the state legislators to force the federal government into full compliance and demand full compliance before we will even entertain an amendment. And that amendment process is not even on the table until they get into full compliance. Getting there is where we must be. And all we need are 13 states committed to Republic Review, and we have shut down the Convention of States' viability and relevance. Because when you have 13 states committed to full compliance, even if the Convention of States comes out with these amendments, they're going to languish in obscurity, because until we get our full compliance, those amendments will not be considered by 13 states. And oh, guess what? They need to have 38 states out of 50. You take 13 away, the most they can get is 37. You have completely marginalized the convention states' efforts, regardless of whether they consider themselves constitutional or not. They are dangerous and they're wasting our time. We must get compliance and compliance only. And that's how clear I can make. I can't make it any more clear. So with that, I want you to understand that our biggest problem in succeeding in getting Republic Review and getting this challenge forward is the establishment. The establishment within the party. conservative organizations that are out there that are just like the party, just like the Republican Party, like the John Birch Society, any of these organizations that are out there that want you to maintain the status quo or get you to at least, oh, well, we want nullification. Yeah, we want you to use a cap gun when you go to war instead of using a gun. We want you to use a fly swatter to go kill the elephant. I mean, you may not even make the elephant mad because it is that inconsequential. But the fact remains that you will not solve the problem. You must interpose. You must take action and arrest the evil. Those are Madison's words in what has to happen. So there's all sorts of, you know, these different factions and all sorts of different groups that are all talking about, well, we got to just do these few things. Just keep the status quo and get along. Well, we all need to unite. That is true. But I am here to tell you that if we are not focused on compliance and republic review, we will fail. So, as you know, there's only a few factions that we've already listed, you know, the demographic factions and so forth. But why do they even exist within the party? The problem, again, is division. And the old adage is united we stand, divided we fall. How many people do not believe that that is true? Because if you don't look and if you don't understand why we're falling, it is because we are divided. The other problem, so we got the primary problem is division. And the second problem is the party by design. The party, as it is designed, the Republican Party, is laissez-faire. Now, I will tell you that the Democratic Party is no holds barred. The Communist Party, it is no holds barred. The end justifies the means. They will do anything and everything. They will kill you to get what they need. And that history has proven this. And as a matter of fact, as they've started empowering the homosexual movement has used the full force of unconstitutional law and the unconstitutional court system to ram their agenda down your throat. The ends justify the means. It is that simple. So as you start looking at this laissez-faire design, in other words, it'll just kind of work out. We just want people to be Republicans in office. They could be Democrats, but as long as they call themselves Republicans, we're okay with that. I want you to understand that this laissez-faire design has given us a long train of tyrants in the Republican Party. I will name some. Teddy Roosevelt, Herbert Hoover, Dwight Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, George Bush, George Herschel Walker Bush, George W. Bush, John McCain, the late John McCain, the champion of communism itself. And as a matter of fact, at a local level for where I'm at, our congressional district, which is a solid red congressional district, we have a poser who is a rhino who is actually promoting and does more to promote the globalist agenda than anything else. And her name is Kathy McMorris Rogers. So we want to get into the details in our next episode is how and why rhinos are our demise. We're better off having a Democrat than a rhino for 2 years. And I'll prove this in our next episode. Thank you so much. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.